think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory isn't amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so
most
smart.
Of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Every once in a while, we experience an event that rips at that fabric of the narrative of your life. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, we'll take a look at the various ways we live with and explain grief and some strategies that might help it make sense.
Life, as usual, has a particular rhythm to it, a particular ebb and flow, and a particular story that goes along with it. The grieving process, in a lot of ways, is about how do you deal with this event that tears at the fabric of the narrative of your life. Because when that narrative is disrupted, it is extraordinarily stressful, sad, and can be debilitating for people.
Mm-hmm. One of the important things that Art mentions is that phrase, the ebb and flow of our lives. You know, some people, more than others, are able to sort of look at the long-term view of their life experience, knowing that they have felt great moments of great elation and moments of great sadness, and that those things come and go, right? There are experiences that sort of come in and out of our lives that change the way we feel about the world and our place in it and those kinds of things. But it seems to me that many of the people who have the most difficult time escaping from great sadness and loss and things that we would describe as grief have a more difficult time seeing a longer view. I mean, the phrase, you know, that the time heals all wounds, what the passage of time does, right, is there are more and more experiences that are coming into your life past the point that initiated the feelings of grief. And all of those experiences are contributing to your overall state of mind.
You know, I think there's sort of several strands that weave through this. I mean, one of them is that we have to recognize that there are lots of psychological mechanisms in the normally functioning brain that try to bring us back to our set point, our stasis. And so that means that really wonderful events and really terrible events over time tend to fade in their influence on us under normal circumstances and bring us back to where we were before. And remember, what I'm saying is how happy you are, not that you've forgotten the loss.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyone who's suffered a great loss knows that that will stay with you. You still have all of those memories and all of those feelings about a person that you've lost, but your overall level of happiness often returns back to where you were before.
But it does seem to be the case that people have ways of dealing with things that become practiced over a lifespan. There are people who sort of focus on revisiting, thinking about, verbalizing about the negative aspects of the situation. And those people tend to have a harder time digging themselves out because the rehearsal, and it really is a rehearsal, of the sadness intensifies the sadness. Yeah. Right?
There are two different kinds of methods for repeating something to yourself. And the one that doesn't work is the one where you focus on this event, you know, and just kind of keep saying, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But there's a lot of work, you know, Jamie Pennebaker, my colleague here in the psych department, does this work showing that if you get people to write about traumatic experiences, that actually that writing process, as painful as it is to do it at the time, leads to much lower stress levels down the line. And what happens with the process of that writing is that you do it several times and it begins to create a story about what happened. So this thing that initially made no sense and had no bearing and no connection to the rest of your life experience becomes woven into your personal narrative. And the more that that becomes woven into the narrative, the more that it just becomes part of a story, and it doesn't need to be brought to mind so often anymore because it now fits.
Writing changes thinking. When you're in the process of externalizing something that's sort of, you know, recirculating in your own mind and you write it, even more than talking about it, yeah, it's a different experience that actually changes the way you think. And, you know, usually we like to think about that process as, well, I know it's in my head and then I'm going to write it down, forgetting or not recognizing in the first place that the act of writing it down is actually changing potentially what's in my head. And that process creates a different kind of perspective. You're thinking about the experience, as Art says, differently by the fact that you're writing it down.
And one really hard thing about the grief process is that you have to give yourself some amount of permission to begin to move on from the terrible event. Most of us don't get a manual for how to deal with traumatic situations. And that manual often comes in the form of cultural heritages.
Right.
So, you know, religions often have prescriptions for how to deal with death, for example. So, you know, whether it's a wake, you know, or a particular funeral arrangement, or, you know, in Judaism, after the funeral, having that 7-day period in which members of the community visit you at your home. These are these prescriptions that tell you two things, well, several things. One, you're going to have to immediately after a traumatic event recognize that you're not really capable of doing much that's productive, that it's really important to connect yourself with community. I mean, you know, whether it's before the funeral in a wake or after the funeral in this 7-day period, the community is forcing themselves on you at a time
exactly.
when you don't want them there.
Exactly. And that's the point, right? Is that it doesn't allow you to do something that is counterproductive
right.
in helping you get past this.
Right. And so, you know, what's fascinating is, you know, I think, and this is a problem with modern society in some ways, that by losing some of that cultural heritage, we lose some of the wisdom about how to deal with the events that most of us only deal with a very small number of times over the course of our lives. And as a result, you know, our natural tendencies may take us in the wrong direction.
Exactly.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, we'll talk about praise that motivates versus praise that can discourage with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org and we're on Twitter at @2GOYH. We'd love to know what you think of the show and find out what you're curious about. Email us anytime at twoguys@KUT.org. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. And for KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroe.